Good evening. Can you all hear me? Good. The subtitle for all this evening's message is Secret Service. If you do a look on Google Images for Secret Service, you get lots of pictures of Barack Obama with his with these people in black suits, with probably guns under their jackets, you know, and dark glasses. So that wasn't very helpful. The idea of Secret Service, a good, I don't know who thought it up, John, was it? John's idea, very good, John. Comes from verse 4. If you turn back to the beginning of Matthew chapter 6 on page 970, and just start from verse 1, going down a little bit, and to verse 4, where it says, so your giving, he's talking about giving, may be in secret. And later on, we look at prayer and then fasting. We'll get onto that in due course. And this is part of Jesus' sermons. It's part of the Sermon on the Mount. And when he talks about how we should be practicing our faith. Now, there's a few people here who come to CBSI. Craig comes, and somebody else comes, isn't there? Yeah, Han comes, that's right. And Basil comes as well. So two or three of you know that we've been looking at the book of Matthew since the beginning of this academic year in September. And we'll be going through until July. And we're looking at it in quite a lot of detail. And also we've been studying Matthew quite a lot here. And we're going to study it more later on in the year, aren't we? Anyway, we're looking at Matthew as a manual. I always thought Jesus was a manual, but this is Matthew as a manual. So by the end of this year, I ought to know, anyway, Matthew in quite a lot of detail, but some of these passages are just as mysterious to me as they were at the beginning of the year. Jesus is quite enigmatic in some of the things that he says. He challenges us with many of the things that he says, and this particular passage is no exception. But I think what it's really all about is motivation. In other words, the why word. Why? Why have you come here this evening? Why are you here? There's lots of reasons why someone might come to a service. It might just be your habit, certainly mine. It needs 6 o'clock, better start getting ready, time to go. It might be that the Lord spoke to you specifically tonight, saying, I want you there. Tonight, Slab Baptist Church, you're needed. Go. Might be that you're on some kind of rota. All right, Andy's on rota, Tony's on, Anne Willis in the foyer there is on. We're on the rota, so we're supposed to be here. There's lots of reasons why, you know, we might be here. And Jesus in this passage is talking about why we do things. Specifically, why we give, why we pray, and why we fast. Last week, Matthew Warren was talking specifically about fasting. It's not something that we talk about very much, which, in a sense, maybe shows that we are listening to what the Word says, because that's exactly what this passage says. It says, don't let other people know when you fast. Keep it a secret. Because the people there used to, in those days, used to, so that everybody would know they were fasting, they would put what effectively was sort of makeup on, you know, ashes on their face to make themselves look miserable and somber and everything, so everybody would know they were fasting and how holy they were. Jesus says here, talking about giving and praying and fasting, do things because God wants you to do them and not to please other people. Good advice. But not always easy to carry out. Now, one of the difficulties with this passage is that the things that Jesus talks about aren't familiar to us, are they? They're not. Let's have a look, for example, at verse 2. When you give to the needy, do not announce it with trumpets, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and on the streets, to be honoured by others. I'm not aware of many people who announce their giving with trumpets on the streets. I don't know if you've seen anybody recently announcing their giving with trumpets on the streets. I'm told that in the days that Jesus was speaking in the temple, they used to have their offering, not like little sort of discreet bags like we have, but they had a great big pot, a number of great big pots in the temple. And of course, money in those days, they didn't have notes, they didn't have checks or anything like that. All money was in coins, metal. So the rich people would come in with, a bag or something of lots of coins, and they would pour it into this big pot. And of course, it would make lots of noise as all these coins fell into the pot. And the longer and louder the noise, the more they were telling everybody, look how rich I am, look how generous I am. Right? I can afford to give all this money to the temple. Or look again at the bit about prayer in verse 5. When you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. You don't see very many people praying elaborately on street corners these days. And then when you got onto fasting, I've already talked about this, when you fast, do not look somber as the hypocrites do, for they disfigure their faces to show others they are fasting. Let me tell you, people, I don't want any more of this, disfiguring your faces to show people you're fasting. It's got to stop. So these things that used to go on in those days, the examples that Jesus was using, which would have been very familiar to the people there, aren't so familiar to us. And therefore, there's a danger that we say, oh, well, that's got nothing to do with us. We don't do that sort of thing anymore. We are okay. But I'm sure, I know that Jesus has got a deeper meaning and that he wants to say things to us as well. And it's about motivation. The two sorts of motivation that we are familiar with are fear and reward. One of the songs that we had previously had the word reward in it, and I asked Andy if he could include that song, My Delight and My Reward. It talks about Jesus being our reward. We're used to the sort of stick and carrot approach, aren't we? Those of you who have got children or have had children and they're now grown up will know that if you want the child to do something, you can either threaten them with dire consequences if they don't do it, or you can promise them something good if they do it. Neither of them usually works, but that's the two sort of ways in which we do it. I mean, it's either fear, you know, if you don't do this, or if you do that thing we don't want them to do, this will happen to you, or you won't get ice cream, or I'll keep you in your room for a week, or I don't know, whatever it is. Jesus here is talking about reward. One of the words that comes up, it comes up in fact 6 times in this passage, in the bit about giving and prayer and fasting. 6 times you have the word reward come up. The end of verse 2, it says, truly I tell you they have received their reward in full. And then it moves on down a little bit to verse 4. So that your giving a baby in secret, then your father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And the same pattern reoccurs when he talks about prayer. They have received their reward in full. Your father who sees what you do in secret will reward you. And the same about fasting. Jesus talks here about reward. God will reward us. I used to joke with people if they thanked me for doing something. Don't thank me, I would say. Because if you thank me, you're depriving me of my spiritual reward. Because I've had it. I've had the thanks. You know, they used to look at me kind of, is he really all here? It shouldn't stop us thanking people, of course, because it's good to show our appreciation for people. That's a really good thing to do. But what Jesus is talking about is why we do things. What is our motivation? And he was talking about the hypocrites. And it didn't take very much intelligence to work out who he was talking about at the time. He was pointing the finger very firmly at the Pharisees, whom he considered to be hypocrites. The picture I've got here, you may be familiar with this idea. In the days of Greek drama, which again the people at that time would have been very familiar with, the actors in Greek drama, rather than having to make their faces into different expressions, used to have masks to portray different emotions. So if they were portraying someone who was sad, they would have a sad mask, like the one on the right there. If they were portraying someone who was happy, they would put on a happy mask. If it was angry, or whatever emotion they would have masks. And of course, the term hypocrite came from that. And the point is, what was on the mask wasn't really what was going on behind. Wasn't really what they were feeling. But they were portraying, they were playing a part. Jesus said, that's what these people are doing. They're just playing a part. They are not sincere. They are doing things for show. And there's plenty of other examples and teaching of Jesus about that. We've been looking recently in CBSR at Matthew 23, and the beginning of that is about the hypocrisy of the Pharisees. Jesus talks here about doing things for God, doing things for other people. And he talks almost as if they're mutually exclusive. You can't do both. And that seems rather odd to us. Surely, sometimes if we do something, it can please God, but it can please other people as well, can't it? We don't have to be antagonistic towards everybody to please God, and vice versa. No, but what Jesus is concerned with is why we're doing it. Look back, look on a little bit, the same chapter, verse 24, on the next page. And Jesus says, no one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you will be devoted to the one and despise the other. And then he says, you cannot serve both God and money. But he might as well have said, you cannot serve God and... Well, it could be anything. Because that's true. You cannot serve God and anything else. You have to serve God alone. Money, friends, ambition, pride, we can't serve God and something else. God has to come above all these things. One of the things that does confuse me, and did confuse me, I think I've got a little bit of a handle on it now, was the contrast between this passage and what we see in chapter 5. Turn back a page or two to Matthew chapter 5, verse 14, which is just after the Beatitudes, the blesseds, blessed are the poor in spirit, and so on. And Jesus is talking about salt and light. And he says in verse 14, you are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. We read that last verse again. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. Now let's go on to the passage that we are actually studying. When you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. Did Jesus change his mind in between verses, chapters 5 and 6? Did someone take him aside and have a little word with him and say, this isn't quite right? Absolutely not, no. The secret, again, is in the motivation, why you are doing things. In the little section in chapter 5, in the same way, let your light shine before others so that, sorry, I'll put in the so, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. So the motivation, the purpose for letting your good deeds shine is not so that others can say what a jolly good chap you are, but that you will glorify your Father in heaven. That's the reason why you do it. Okay? It's for God's glory. Whereas, when he talks about the hypocrites, he says, do not announce it with trumpets, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and on the streets, to be honored by others. So their purpose, their motivation, is so that they may get the glory of other people. They may be thought well of. They may be, everybody will say how wonderful and how holy they are. And that's the difference between these two passages. It's in the reason you do things. There's nothing wrong with people thanking you. Nothing wrong with you thanking other people. It's a jolly good thing to do. But if that's the reason we're doing it, then therein lies danger. I'm getting behind my slides. Giving, praying, and fasting. Those are the three things that Jesus is talking about specifically here. And we've already said that the motives are what really counts. Now, I heard a story, which is probably apocryphal, about a Sunday school teacher who was taking a class one Sunday. And it wasn't this passage. It was the passage about the Pharisee and the publican praying. I was trying to look it up before, but I can't find it, so it's clearly not in Matthew. So if anyone's standing, you know off the top of your head where it is? No, neither do I. It's somewhere. It's a story about the Pharisee and the publican who pray, and the Pharisee prays, Lord, I thank you that I'm not like other people. I thank you that I'm not like this publican here. I pray three times a day. I fast. I give tithes. You know, basically, what a wonderful chap I am. And the publican says, he won't even raise his eyes to heaven, but he bows down, beats his breast and says, Lord, forgive me, a miserable sinner. And Jesus says, that's the one who went home that day justified before God, not the publican. Sorry, not the Pharisee. The teacher, as you can imagine, had quite a hard time trying to get through these concepts to the young children in her class. And at the end, she was mightily relieved that the time had come and she could get back. So she said, well, children, so let's all just thank God that we're not like the Pharisee. Where are our temptations? What are the modern examples, rather than the ones that we talked about announcing things on street corners and all the trumpets and everything? That's a rather confusing graphic, that, because that thing, those of you who are aware of these things, that's the Facebook like symbol. Do you know? It's good. But I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about just ordinary like it used to be before we had Facebook and all that stuff. How important is it to you to be liked by people? I mean, there's nothing wrong with wanting to be liked. You know, we don't want to be obnoxious to other people. But how important is it to you? What would you do so that others would like you? Or possibly to be appreciated, to be thanked. I've already said, you know, don't thank me because you'll deprive me of my eternal reward. But it's good to be appreciated, and we should do more of it. We should do more appreciating one another and saying how much we value the people and their contributions and what they do and what they mean to us. That's fantastic. But how important is it to us to be appreciated? We might say, oh, I don't do it for the thanks. You know, I'm just serving the Lord. But what if people didn't thank you? I did all that work and she didn't even bother to say thank you. You know, sometimes we can be a bit like that, can't we? We can be a bit sort of, I'm not actually doing it for the thanks, but if they don't thank me, I'm sure I'm not going to do it next year. Thank you very much. You know? How important is it to us to be appreciated by other people? It's not easy to say to ourselves, I'm doing this just for the Lord. And it doesn't matter if nobody else notices. It's for God. There's another point here about what's going on, because the hypocrites are putting on a show. They've got a mask in front of their face. They're not being truly open. And I wonder if that's a challenge to us as well. How open are we to being, to talk to, when we talk to other people, how honest are we in what we say? Do we put on a bit of a show? I'm okay. Yep, I've got it all together. When we go around, perhaps in a small group, somebody used to come to our home group, whom I won't mention by name, it would be unfair, but he was a lovely person, she is a lovely person. But whenever we went round and we would go round and ask people if they had things to pray for. And she would always have something to pray for, but it was never for her. It was for somebody else. I admire her concern for other people, but there was a reserve there. I'm not going to tell you what's going on in my life. I don't want to tell you about that. I don't want to open up there. And many of us are a bit like that. It's difficult to be open with other people. It's difficult to admit our faults and our failings, because we want other people to think well of us. We want other people to think that we're okay. We're doing all right. Now, I'm not saying that we should go and come up here at the front and tell the whole church, you know, what a terrible person we are, and how we've done this and done that and done the other. There are, you know, times and places for that, and possibly after the service with one or two other people, with the ministry team, would be a more appropriate place to do that. But, you know, there are times when we need to be open with other people. Back to where we started. Secret service. Not the picture that really goes with it, but then can anybody see the link? What's the link between the picture? Hands, yeah. Yeah. Do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. Absolutely. Okay. Secret service. I've got a confession to make to you, and that is that sometimes I can be a bit critical of people within the church whom I don't consider, in my opinion, are doing very much. Not pulling their weight, you know? They could do a lot more. And so I confess to you, I can be critical about that. But I realised, and I realised this week through reading this, that some people are doing things that I don't know anything about. Some people are doing things very quietly behind the scenes, perhaps visiting people, perhaps working in the kitchen, perhaps preparing things that, you know, I don't know about. And it doesn't get on, they're not on the rota, they don't get on the news sheet, they don't get, you know, they're not up the front in somewhere obvious. So I should be a bit careful whom I point the finger at, because many people are doing things, and they're doing it secretly. They're following this instruction, not to tell everybody what great people they are and how they're doing wonderful work for the Lord, but just doing it for Him. Now, it's not wrong to serve God publicly. It's not wrong to, you know, come up the front and have a public ministry. But neither is it the only way to serve God. There are plenty of ways of serving God which do not involve being up the front, announcing yourself, being seen by everybody. Those of us that do serve in a public kind of way, we need to watch ourselves. We need to be careful, because it can be too easy then for us to seek the support, the adulation, the applause, the appreciation of other people, instead of simply doing it for God. And the bigger the church and the more prominent your position, the more that is a threat and a temptation to be seen as the kingpin or the one who is above everything and has got it all together and is doing fantastically, thank you. When we were on the search team a year or so ago and we were searching for another pastor, we didn't realise we had one right under our nose that we could find. We looked at a number of people and we looked at their CVs, as it were, their profiles. Excuse me. And one or two of them, I'm sure they'd had advice from their local regional minister or somebody. But they said things like, when I came to my present church, it was 25 members and now it's 150. And we've had 72 baptisms in a year and so and so and so and so. And it was a little bit like blowing their own trumpets. And I would think, well, I'm sure they're very good people, but that doesn't sit really well with me. They're telling you what great work they've done for the Lord. Just didn't like that very much. But for those particularly who earn a living by their spiritual ministry, ministers, missionaries, itinerant ministers who go around talking at their churches and so on, this is even more of a temptation because, of course, they depend for their very, business, their living, their income, upon being successful and being seen to be doing well. A good speaker at big conferences and so on can command quite a good fee. And if word gets around, well, they're really not, haven't got it together, they're really struggling, then not only is the reputation damaged, but also potentially their source of income and everything. So we need to pray for those who are in those kind of positions, that God will keep them on the straight and narrow. But meanwhile, secret service, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. Seek not the thanks and appreciation of other people. Seek to do what the Lord wants you to do. And if that's something that doesn't need to be told to other people, just go ahead and do it. Do not judge your success, if you like, by what other people say to you, but what you know God has asked you to do. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your word. Thank you for the way it challenges us. No matter where we are with you, how long we've been a Christian, and where we consider we are spiritually, your word can challenge us and speak to us. And Lord, we want to pray this evening that you will take these words and apply it to our situations, that we might be able to know what you have in mind for us. Lord, we know that it talks about when we give, when we pray, when we fast. So, Lord, we ask you to help us to know who to give to, how much, and when. What to pray for, and how to pray, what to ask for. And challenge us, as Matthew was last week when he spoke about fasting. Do we do it? Should we do it? How much? When? Lord, we pray for your blessing, for your approval, not for man's. In Jesus' name, amen.